ladies and gentlemen. We're back for 2023. It is The Elaborators.
Welcome.
Hang on. I need to put some applause in there as well, just to make us feel really at home.
I'm feeling it.
Some more clapping. I think maybe a drum roll. No, maybe that one. Too much with the drum roll. My name is Justin. I'm part of the team at a church called Werribee Baptist Church. This is the podcast that Werribee Baptist Church puts together, but it's for the whole world.
Absolutely.
Isn't it for the whole world, Simon?
We have only minor goals.
One of the main goals, of course, is that everybody gets to hear this podcast, but it's lovely to be back on The Elaborators, where essentially what we try and do is grab a topic that relates to our spiritual life, our church life, and we elaborate on it.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. So, of course, it's been, you know, a summer that we haven't been doing this, which of course means everybody dropped the ball on absolutely everything. Simon hasn't even been coming to church. And so
I lost my keys. But
over the summer, I mean, how did you go sort of holding together, you know, family life and everything else? Did you tune into an online service? Did you get to the church services?
Of our own church.
Well,
I made one of the – we did on online only for New Year's. That was a good one.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
We prepped that in the weeks prior to Christmas.
To all the regular church attenders out there that managed to keep up their church going practice over summer.
Yep.
Huzzah for you. I was about to start clapping, but I don't need to. I can just use the –
Great.
Studio audience.
Yep.
Studio audience.
I'll take it.
But hooray. I reckon anyone that's made the effort to stick around in church life deserves a little bit of applause, because it can be hard sometimes.
Yeah.
But today we thought we'd start talking about some of the habits that actually help us obviously get into our spiritual life and then sustain our spiritual life, which, you know, is not the easiest thing to do. So with that in mind, everybody listening, get ready. We're going to start talking about a few of these things, and we want you to write down the best habits you have, the worst habits you have, take an inventory by the end, and then Dr. D will fix you at the end. That's pretty much it.
Right. Have we introduced Dr. D?
Not yet. So ready? Let's do it. Okay. So now the show's starting now.
Okay, great.
So the show wasn't started before.
The good part of the show starting now.
Oh, is this, thanks, guys.
Okay. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Elaborators, episode one for 2023.
Wait.
What?
What? Are you starting again?
Yeah, I'm starting again, because that was just a prequel. It was like the bad episode of Star Wars. Now it's the real one. Well, there is now applause happening, and D, welcome to the house. How are you?
We
call you Dr. D. We probably shouldn't, because I keep giving everybody
honorary doctorates
around here. But your qualifications are fairly extensive. You've done a lot of stuff when it comes to, I guess, the care of people in spiritual leadership. Is that a fair enough thing?
That is a very
Feel free to elaborate on that and tell us why we should listen to you.
No, I'm thinking, wow, you simplified it for me even. That's really good.
Is that good?
Yeah, but helping people be healthy, I guess. Helping people in ministry be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I mean, for the next 20 minutes or so, if you could just help us, that'd be great.
I need some help myself, maybe.
Do you really?
Yeah, don't assume that I have all the answers.
Okay.
I do not have all the answers.
Well, no, we're definitely not hoping that we have all the answers, but at least some of the comments, you know, some of the comments. So just in general, I thought people have experienced spiritual life in lots of different ways. The National Church Life Survey says to me, this is a 2018 statistic, the last time it was fully published, I believe, that two out of every 10 Australians say they would attend a religious service at least once a month. I don't have any more sort of in-depth research than that, I'm sorry. But I'm actually surprised. If you weren't a pastor, Deanna, if you didn't quote-unquote have to attend a church service every Sunday by way of, you know, I'm putting her on the spot. What would be your general practice? I'm assuming there's been seasons in your life where Sundays were spent at home, and seasons in your life where Sundays were spent online and whatever. At your age, with your role, what would be your preference these days?
Well, I can tell you this. When we first got married, I had grown up going to church every time the doors open. So, like, you know what? Sunday, Wednesday, twice on Sunday, all of that stuff. And if there's anything special in between, I was there, right? So we get married, and I was only 18, and I like, I am never going to church again.
Wow.
But because it was so ingrained in me, it's like, oh, we need to go to church after just, you know, a couple of months. And it's like, ah, so we got started back. And it's hard to find a new church if you don't have one.
So you get married, and you guys decide that at some point that it is important for the two of you, and then you go and try and find a church for the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Which was a different experience to having just been a single person and attending.
Well, you know, when you're a kid, you go to the church your parents go to because that's kind of the way it is until you get to be a teenager, and then you kind of choose which, you know, you don't want to go to the church that your parents go to because it's not cool. And then you decide whether you go to church or not. What we see people doing is they come back to church when they start having their own kids.
Because it's like, oh, if that's a value they hold, sort of thing.
You know, I grew up in church. It was good enough for me. Then I'll take my kids to church. But sometimes you got that gap, those gap years that people are like, oh, they're busy with developing career and studies and stuff like that. So it's kind of hit or miss. I think it's probably hit or miss.
So you grew up in a family that went, you were taken to church as a child, and then you became an adult, and then you had to make that choice. Simon, was that the same for you?
That was very similar. Actually, Deanna's story in general is very familiar.
Okay.
So yes, growing up in the church, and then, about grade 10 or so, it got a bit boring, dropped off a little bit. And then I think it was probably in year 12-ish, maybe a mate from school got me back into it at a different church to my parents.
Yeah.
And then we were there for a long time before I went overseas.
So unfortunately at this table right now, we don't have anyone that didn't grow up with parents that took them along to church. But that's probably, I would suggest that's most people's experiences. In Australia today, they're growing up in families where Sundays are used for sport, shopping, all the other things, if not just more work, because we are workaholics, this nation, statistically speaking. So one of the things that we look at is when we look at the peer group around us and the impact that has on our behaviours, obviously. So in both of your stories, it was somebody else that said, hey, what about this again?
Yeah.
And for you, it was when you got married, Dee, that became more of a, do we do this as a couple? Was it a discussion? Do you remember?
I don't think it was. I think we were near some of Stan's relatives and they always went to church. So we thought we'd try their church and stuff like that. It really wasn't for us, but we tried it a few times and stuff like that. Then we ended up moving back to Florida and found a church that we both liked. So that worked for us for a while, but it was more social for us, really.
Yeah.
We went because
that was where
we can meet people our age and, you know, young marrieds and stuff like that. So that worked for us socially.
So then just a brief comment, if you've got one, on the experience in North America versus the experience in Australia. Because I would have thought that my general impression is North America, it's more of a normal thing to go to church, or maybe a little more normal than it is in Australia.
Okay, now
socially experienced.
Well, you're dating me as far as age. What I think is, like, if I remember back to when I was a little kid, everything was closed on Sunday. So there wasn't a lot of options. Church was open. So they did, and they never did sport on Sunday. That just wasn't too. In fact, there's an American company that doesn't do business on Sunday.
Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, I wasn't going to mention the name, but yeah.
That's all right. Chick-fil-A, if you want to sponsor us, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. So again, we are cross-generational here, and I certainly remember that too, that nothing was open on Sunday. I grew up in country Victoria, so nothing was open on Sunday. And so there was literally no competition for that time in the diary. And potentially because of the way our cultures had been built, Sunday had been left as very sacred in that sense. So even people that didn't go to church were aware that a whole bunch of the population were. We are a long, long – we're not in Kansas anymore. The general impact of coming together in a gathering of the saints, let's put it that way, certainly taps into the idea of this is a habit that we want to get into. We want to get into the Hebrews, instruction that says whenever you can, gather with the saints. You know, whenever you gathered in my name, said Jesus, do this in remembrance of me, that referring to communion. There's a lot of instruction around gathering, but the how we gather might be different to the why we gather. So let's just quickly go to the why. Why would you even bother gathering with the saints?
Stan makes me.
Nice. So that's good to know. That's good to know that you're really
I don't know. I mean, I think that it's one of the, it is a habit. It's like, you know, Sunday, that's what Sunday's for. So okay. I mean, and I do it my personally, you know, if Stan didn't make me and I wasn't supposed to be
just
here.
For those listening along, Stan is her husband who happens
and my
to
boss.
Be the boss of the organization we work for.
Yeah. Mm, well, you know, so thinking about it though, I have really grown in my excitement. I think that the COVID, I hear people call it the COVID.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
COVID made me appreciate getting together more, mm-hmm. I think, than before, because, you know, when you can't do something, well, we're the rebel in all of us.
I was just going to say that if you want to get demotivated, tell us you can't do something.
Yeah. I love a good challenge. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I mean, just.
D, you can't give me $500 right now.
You're right, I can't. Oh, maybe I can transfer you something. Yeah. But just, you know, I can sing all day long in my shower or mm-hmm. at the piano by myself. It's to hear everybody sing together and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where else on earth does that happen? Mm. I mean, maybe at a concert, a few people will sing along and jump along or whatever. But, you know, we get together every week and sing as a group. And it's such a weird and bizarre but beautiful thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's that. And there's, I mean, you can listen to teaching online from all over the globe from centuries past, you know, which is great. Well, maybe it's centuries all past. I don't know, Simon, you probably can correct me on that. But yeah, it's out there, right? So we don't have to come and hear that, but there's something about hearing it and even hearing people laugh along, and it's a collective. I like the word collective lately.
Yeah. The gathering, the gathered, the collective.
Co. Yeah. Isn't that it? Co now.
Everybody's a co. Dot co.
Dot collective.
Yeah. Is that what so that means? Yeah. If you're a leader of a church out there and you want to come up with a cool name for your church, just end it in .co and you'll be done. Hmm. That's right.
Noted.
So Simo, there's and again, I should point out where you're up to in life for Deanna. You've got grandchildren now, and some of your grandchildren actually come to the gathering that you lead. That's got to be exciting.
That's true. In fact, a lot of times my kids will say, you know, they'll ask who's speaking, and they feel sorry for me when it's me, so they'll come and support me. Just
sympathy audience.
Yeah, so you look good, Mom. You look good. Yeah. Good job, Mom. Good job.
So some of it's just, but some of it is about the collective of supporting one another. I think there's definitely something to be said for why'd you go on Sunday? It's because my mates were there. It's because my friends were there. It's because we were going to do something after that. It's a point in the diary. It's all of those kind of things. I always think the idea of, even if you don't want to, leaving the door open for God to do something in your life, even when you're feeling flat, even all of those kinds of things. One of the blessings I think that came out of the COVID lockdowns was our church and many, many churches went very, very hard to make sure that we were beaming into people's houses. Mm. What's been the impact of that, Simon? You were sort of the architect of a lot of the things for our local congregation.
Yeah, to get us into homes.
Yep.
I mean, it was, I think there was Church Online platform, which is run by Life Church over in the States. They had, you know, like a 400%, 400 times growth or whatever in like the first few weeks of their streaming platform.
Wow.
And they went from, you know, 30,000 churches to 140,000 churches in a matter of weeks.
Wow.
So from a broader church collective, yes, everyone just went, bang, we have to exist still as a gathering. But how does that gathering differ and change to not be all in the same space?
Mm-hmm.
And there'd been churches working on that for years and years and years, like Life Church and things.
Yeah.
But for the good old church, you know, like us, just in the local church.
The bricks and mortar, local, I think we all, local on the corner.
Yeah, I think we all knew it was a thing coming.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, oh, well, okay, now we have to.
But I think, again, the idea of gathering, the idea of there was a service recently where I was on the online platform and physically in the room. Whilst on the online platform, mm-hmm. people were watching from Disneyland and Scotland. I know Disneyland is a very specific place, but that's where they were in the States. And I can't remember the family that were they're moving to Australia soon.
Yeah.
And they were looking for churches in the local area they were going to move to, and they're coming from Scotland to Australia. And so, quite literally, our service was being broadcast in real time and being accessed and interacted with in real time with our online hosts who were saying, hello, how are you, and can we pray for you, and those kinds of things, which definitely gives people that little bit of dopamine that goes, oh, this is nice. This is connected. This feels something.
Yeah, it does. And I think that's the fascinating thing about it, is that there are people all around the world, and just as much that I can go and find and Google a church in whatever suburb in some other country and find a church and probably jump on the live stream there.
Yeah.
And then it's just that sense of, and it's the challenge that a lot of the local churches that just dived in and now just starting to find out, including ourselves, is the, well, we've got the attendance sorted. So now how do we start the connection?
Mm. Right.
And the engagement of the people that we can't see.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, it's the collective of people. It's the gathering. What did you call it?
The collective.
You call it the collective. Yeah. So getting people together in one lump, we see certainly in our region, the international community is represented. There are a lot of nations living in this one little place. So we see lots of English as a second language, lots of different backgrounds in experience. So the idea of the collective singing together is often the one area where people can actually, everybody around the world uses hallelujah and amen in their language somewhere if they're in the spiritual. So it's the classic Mr. Bean, hallelujah. They all go there on that. They may not understand the sermon coming from a fast-talking American or a fast-talking Aussie. So there's things like that where the gathering is about so much more than the liturgy that happens. So I just wanted to jump in because I'm sure anybody listening would have one of these two. Your best church memory. Now, I know it's really easy to rag on the church. We're all experts at that. It'd be easy to have bad church memories. But I wondered whether you could talk to the fond memory, the thing that might have actually changed the way you felt about yourself, about others, and about God.
Oh, wow.
Deanna can go first.
Yeah, you're going to palm that
throw
off.
Throw me under that bus.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fast-moving bus.
You know, one thing always comes to my mind. We started in a small church. We left a big church and we went to a smaller church. And I remember Stan saying that because I was concerned there were not kids. There's like, oh, this church only has 30 people. There's not a kids minute and all that stuff. And he said, yeah, but if we don't stay, who will?
You know? Right.
Yeah. So we stayed and stuff like that. And that church grew in a matter of 10 years from that 30 people to 450 people. And our
is that because of how good looking you guys were?
Yeah. God was just doing amazing things right, left, and center. We would pray for things or we would have a need for something. And as the church was growing, and God would just provide the most random things like a form break. I don't even know what a form break is, but we needed one to build the building that we were building.
Physical.
It's a piece of machinery. I don't know.
Yes.
A form break.
You'll have to Google it.
Back in my farming days, I'm sure I could tell you what that was.
But, you know, and we saw altar calls, though. That's the thing I remember. I remember one Sunday, our pastor, he was not a singer, and he just burst into song because he says, oh, and he was fighting it. You could see him fighting it on the stage and stuff. And he's like, oh, I'm just going to do it. And he starts singing this old hymn.
Yeah.
And I don't think he even preached that day, that literally people just started in tears flowing forward. And it was just this 30 minutes of what was supposed to be a sermon, and it was just people responding to an altar call that wasn't even like, you know, let's sing Just As I Am 50 times and come forward. And just seeing God work that way, I think, was really such an amazing thing.
How old were you?
In my early 20s. Yeah. My mid-20s? Yeah, it was probably in my mid-20s.
So for a lot of people that maybe grew up in church to 13, 14 and then left and never came back, or to people that didn't go through their childhood and tried it out in their late teens, early 20s, I would suggest that a lot of people have those experiences. Mm-hmm. That is the age group where you have those experiences where it's not just you were attending a service because mum and dad said so or because whatever, there's actually a personal conviction. Mm. So the decision to come based on your own volition is a really important one. Mm. What about you, Brother Simon?
Best church moments.
Best church memory.
Most things that come to my mind immediately are more so literal moments, even here where, you know, I get to produce and stand up the back and I feel I've got the best seat in the house up there.
Mm.
But it's just that sense of, suddenly, at least for me, it'll be like, man, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And I think it is that moment of it's either in a worship moment or it's or even like a really amazing heart hitting point from a sermon or whatever. And it's just this undeniable sense of like, oh yeah.
Like
look at us all here. Or you get your phone out and you want to stream it and whatever because you
want to
show.
And it never comes out the same way, does it?
No, it never does.
Never quite.
Like trying to film the moon. It's like not going to happen.
Well, I mean, and it's something that it doesn't happen all the time, but when it does happen, there's just something special about seeing that happen together. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
The idea of
being part of a collective.
So
there we go again.
Mm. One of the things I think, you know, we take it for granted, but we are free in these nations to gather as a church. No one's telling us we're not allowed to. It's not against the law to use God's name and to proselytize even. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea of bringing people together is just fundamental to human health, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So there's something about gathering in agreement. What I think is a good balance is when you can come into church and believe you are allowed to bring your own opinion, your own self, your own heart, your own background, all of that stuff, and at least for a moment sit and see if you could agree, see if you could connect with such a diversity of people. People really, if you're listening to this and you've never tried coming to church, we'd encourage you. Feel free to jump on our website, of course, but we're happy to find a church for you anyway, just to give it a try, and we guarantee that we'll only suggest churches that are welcoming. And they're not gonna do anything weird to you. But the idea that I always say to people is very brave to walk across the threshold of a church. It actually takes a lot of courage, right?
Yeah.
And so for a lot of us, those memories are in moments which. And maybe I could ask you the question: were you surrounded by people you knew? Was there something else about the environment that made that moment a little bit more? What it was?
If I'm honest, hope I
will. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, coming up next, if D's honest. I've just got this button ready.
I've got that
button ready just in case you're too honest. Yeah.
Yeah. but no, I think that it was the Spirit working. And I know that sounds so Christian, but the Spirit was really working. And I think that that's the thing. But realizing that... I needed it more than I realized I needed it.
Yeah.
And to feel like you're part of something bigger than just your own little world is really good. And I think people need that on a foundational level, because what you'll see is like people need to be a part of something, whether it's a footy club, a sporting club, you know, I don't know. I can't think of anything else because I'm not into all that stuff. But, you know, people want to be part of something bigger than just themselves and connect and stuff like that. So for church, what's beautiful about church is that we welcome everybody. You don't have to sew, or you don't have to be good at basketball, or you don't have to be a singer or stuff like that. Everybody is welcome. And I think there's something really special about that, because it's not true everywhere.
No, it's not. And again, we do our best to be that community. And I think, you know, churches would be lying if they said we do that. We try to do that. There are people that will walk across the threshold and still not feel welcome and still not feel like they're accepted. And your experience is your experience, but at least as a collective, our attempt is to make you feel welcome. I've certainly walked into churches where even as a professional on the scene, I walk out of them quickly at times. There has been that experience too. So for me, I think my best memories are all around people who were happier that they were happier afterwards than they were before, kind of scenario.
Yeah.
I've seen lots of church impact where the collective good based on us seeking the heart of God, and these are really big ideas. We come together to sing songs that teach us about the nature and character of God, that teach us about the nature and character of ourselves in relation to God, and have a theology, a theory of God underneath them, right? So these are really big ideas, but when we get together, there's a beautiful simplicity to it where we all just share each other's burdens and try our best to be a community that helps one another in the moment. But what is the benefit, I guess, of we're talking about some of the fond memories that we have, some of the beautiful moments where we're talking about feeling God move. What are the other benefits, I guess, of continue? Because Dee, I'm looking at you because you're the oldest here, who may have attended more church services than any of us, and you're still coming. Why?
Well, you know, I think it's habits that are formed when you're younger. I think that's part of it, and I see the benefit of it. And it's not just that, but it's not even just coming for me. I mean, I come for other people because I want to set a good example for my kids. Even though they're adults, I still want to set a good example for them. And And I don't want to miss seeing people that, because sometimes I only see them, you know, when they're there. I'm there every week, and sometimes people don't come every week. But, you know, I don't want to miss seeing people that I haven't seen in a while, checking in with them to see if they're doing okay and things like that when they're going through tough stuff, you know that. And
we've started to talk in our church about good habits. What are good habits to get yourself into? And I think, you know, not a day would go by where you're scrolling through your social media and someone doesn't have 6 steps and 4 steps and 37 good reasons to and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, sometimes it's that thing of they can be an answer for some people, but typically they're behind a paywall. That's what I always find. Mm. Here's the 6 habits you need if you give us $39.95 a month.
Shh, don't tell everyone our plan.
But church is not behind a paywall, but there are walls that get in the way for people, potentially that they feel like the sky's going to fall on them if they walk into a space. Potentially their experience with the word church or even the word Christian has been an incredibly negative one, a very painful one, full of all sorts of human stupidity, all the rest of it. I guess, you know, what would you say to people if the wall that's up is one of I hate the church?
You know, I don't have a pat answer for that. Because I think everybody has a unique story, and I think that you have to listen. And I think that's really key for us as Christians, is to be able to listen to someone's experience without a preconceived idea of, you know, oh yeah, we know all about that, or this is the way you fix that, or this is what's wrong with that. But just to listen and to hear their heart, and then to be able to challenge them in the sense that, you know, well, you know, have you given it a try? Or, you know, I'm sorry that happened to you. Sometimes people have been really hurt by church. And so we need to be able to be willing to own that as Christians, even though maybe it wasn't us that did it. But as a church, to be able to say, you know, I'm really sorry that happened to you, that you had a bad experience. And I hope you can find some healing. And we would love you to come along and give it another try, that kind of thing. But they're only going to do that when they're ready, I think. Yeah.
Sim, have you seen a difference? I feel like it's probably only anecdotal, but I really like the idea that I can say to people, check out our YouTube channel. Start here. Have you seen any sort of results that you could speak to, or personal stories that you'd speak to?
I mean, we hear very regularly that people are visiting and attending after having watched us online or found us online somewhere, whether it's a website, live stream or something. And I think the benefit of all that exposure, as we call it here, as part of our strategy and things, getting it out there online, is we've had the scenarios recently with some of our reels and things that suddenly something will trigger in the algorithms and it goes out. And you kind of know you're doing well when the comments start coming in rather harshly.
Yes.
And you're hitting it.
People were mean to us online. Right.
Sometimes they're not very friendly online.
I was surprised.
but generally you're hitting something there. They might leave that comment and it might be offensive or whatever, but on the flip side, they potentially watched 45 seconds of Stan preaching something at them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in that moment, they may be very anti that, but who knows? Who knows what other times that they're getting a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and it can start to change.
And I'd just like, again, for all of us, we're sitting here talking to these microphones because we belong to this church. We all three of us are here basically all the time anyway. Some people would argue you just do that because it's your job. I would have to put out a confession there that over my years of ministry, there have been a few Sundays I've rocked up because it's my job. There really have been, and that's the honest answer. But what I've experienced when I've come together with the people is something greater than the pain, greater than the negative, greater than the medicine most of us need are other people just gathered around us, really. That's really it. So my advocacy for church life is not that you should do it every Sunday or you're not a good Christian or that you're spiritual but not good enough if you're not attending. My advocacy would be you might find somebody like you, or you might find somebody at the other end of the experience of you that could meet you in the middle. And so that's why we work really, really hard to, yes, we're going to have the gathered moment, we're going to have the liturgy together, we're going to try singing together as best we can, we're going to try listening to one person deliver essentially a lecture for 30 minutes to get some points across, and we're going to dig down into maybe what this ancient text, the scripture of the Bible, has told us over the years. But we're going to hang around for long enough to get to know each other that our lives might change.
And I think it was interesting when you talked on the sometimes you go because you have to. And it's a funny thing. I was just thinking then of the, you know, we're going into the habits and things, and you certainly fluctuate between, you know, I have to or I need to, and then it's a habit that I do, and then I want to. That's three different things. But when you think of church attendance, it's pretty hard to build a habit once a week. Like every time we talk about building habits, you know, it's like do this every day. Do this whenever you get up and you do this and you build the habits because it's a lot of frequency to it. But when you have to wait 7 days before you try again the next time.
So you're saying we should have church every day?
Well, no.
By the way,
let's just get a few more volunteers before we try and do seven services a week. So if that's a big duration to try and build a habit, and I think that's where the importance of all of the other spiritual disciplines comes in. So it's not necessarily the attending church habit. It's the connection with God habit.
Yeah.
Which can happen a lot more frequency, and then, you know, that motivation to go on a Sunday and attend with people is that a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Because you're amongst it all week long.
I want to tell people about how good God is and what he's done in my life this week, and Sunday is when we're all getting together, so let's do that.
Yep.
Yeah. Look, I think there's a whole bunch of directions we could go with this conversation, but we've got a few more podcasts coming up. We'll do this. We'll do this once a week.
Yep.
How about once a week?
Try to build a habit.
Yeah. But what I would say about habits, if it comes to do you pray, are you a spiritual person, do you gather with other people who are spiritual people, one of the very reasonable things to point out is if you're an athlete and you have to train every day because of that thing, that race you're going to run in 3 years' time or four, you know, the Olympics, whatever, every athlete will tell you that even though they train every day, they don't like training every day. And so that's part of what we're talking about. We can bring all of our humanity to the table. And know that my advocacy would be that gathering together always has the sum of the parts is greater. It becomes something bigger than my own feeling. And that's pretty much why I keep giving it a crack.
You keep breathing, right?
Anyways,
we don't have to think about that. That's something that's just automatic.
If he's being honest.
Do you forget to breathe sometimes, Justin?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, next week the episode will just be called D Being Honest.
We'll make sure that whatever future guests we get, they're honest too.
Yeah.
There you go.
All honesty. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us on the first episode of The Elaborators for 2023. We'll do a few more of these once a week because we're good at habits and stuff. Yeah. And I don't know, if you got anything out of this, let us know.
Yeah.
Give us feedback. Tell D she wasn't honest enough. I don't know.
Get us on the socials, on the Baptist Church. We're Baptist Church socials. You'll find us.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, The Elaborators. Yep.
Nice. Oh, all right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for hanging out. And if you do have any feedback or comments, send them directly to Simon, because D and I don't really want to hear about it.
It is Simon's other mailbox.
Good night. It's good night from him. See you later.